News Talk 94.9 WSJM. You're listening to Our Take. Thanks for tuning in to this Friday edition of the show. The week is just about over. I am your host today. My name is Andrew Green. Glad to be with you. This is the program where we have longer conversations about things you may have heard about recently on WSJM News. We have more time to sit and chat with the individuals who are in the know or making things happen here in Michigan's great Southwest. Speaking of which, coming up on today's program, we will talk with Congressman Fred Upton about multiple issues. I had a chance to chat with Fred this week about the student protests that were going on, about school safety, gun control, mental health funding, and also flood recovery. So we'll talk to Congressman Fred Upton next segment of the show about all of those issues. We'll also check in with the Berrien County Sheriff's Department. They have a message for everyone ahead of this weekend, because Saturday is St. Patrick's Day, in case you haven't heard. Sheriff's Department will have extra patrols out there keeping an eye on drivers. We'll talk with them about that. Also on today's program, we'll chat with the Michigan Department of Treasury about tax scams and how you can avoid being a victim of a tax scam. And then finally, because it's Friday, I'll have our man in the dark, Jacob Holmes, come in here. He and I will talk about what's available at the cinema this weekend. Every Friday, we close out the show with a box office discussion. There's three new movies at Celebration Cinema this weekend. I'll talk about these with Jacob, find out what they are, and prepare for the weekend. If you'd like to weigh in on something that we discuss on the show, just send us an email. The address is ourtake@wsjm.com. That's O-U-R-T-A-K-E at WSJM.com. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. This is Our Take. Stick around. We'll be right back. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. You're listening to Our Take, Friday edition of the show. Thanks for tuning in. I'm your host today. My name is Andrew Green. Glad to be with you. For this segment of the program, I thought we would chat with Congressman Fred Upton. I had a chance to talk to Fred this week. We spoke on Wednesday about a few different issues. First of all, we talked about those protests that kids held at high schools all across the country. I thought I'd get the congressman's thoughts on what was going on. So he is our man in Washington, Congressman Fred Upton. Let's hear what he had to tell me. All right, Fred, so today, because this is a Wednesday when we're having this conversation, there are protests going on at high schools. They did it at St. Joe High. They did it at Lakeshore. High schools all over the country, walkouts about violence in schools. Any thoughts on what these kids have been doing?
Well, I think they're right on. I mean, we all care about school safety, whether you're a student, a parent, a community. We know that kids cannot learn in an unsafe environment. For me, the last couple weeks, I've met with students here in Berrien, Van Buren, and Kalamazoo County. I've met with law enforcement officials, mental health advocates, superintendents, FBI, etc., on what we can do. I'm pleased to say that we're going to pass a school safety bill Wednesday afternoon. It should pass with a pretty good margin in the House, bipartisan. Authorizes $75 million for school safety across the country in terms of trying to identify students that may need some mental health needs, obviously some school safety improvements that we're going to want to see. But I've also, as you know, been part of a bipartisan group called Problem Solvers, where we are analyzing a whole number of different pieces of legislation, looking to see if we can come to an agreement on things like a national background check, make major improvements in that to make sure that it works, because we know of cases where it hasn't worked, to ban bump stocks. These are, of course, the devices where it can convert a weapon or a rifle into an automatic weapon, which has, of course, been banned since 1934. More mental health money, I think you'll see that in an omnibus spending resolution that we hopefully can pass sometime next week. So a number of different safeguards, and you know, we'll see where we are within a few days if we can't come up with a bipartisan common sense consensus on some things that can actually prevent some of these tragedies, whether they occurred in Parkland or Columbine, other places around the country.
Okay, great.
And I met with kids, students from Parkland as well 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, you had mentioned that. What was it like talking to them? I mean, that must have been kind of a powerful experience.
Well, it was. I sat down for about a half hour with four or five students from Parkland. They described their experience, and of course, they're anxious to see some legislation to begin to move forward that would be constructive. I know the state of Florida has done some things. They're looking at a red flag where school folks can identify troublesome students, where maybe the law enforcement and mental health advocates can come in. They raised the age, I believe, in Florida to 21 to be able to purchase a firearm. They banned bump stocks. You know, states are always able to do this. And we're looking at national legislation on some of those things in both the House and the Senate as well.
All right, so I was going to ask you about that school safety bill passing just as protests were happening around the country.
It's two votes from now, so it'll happen, you know, in the next 15 minutes.
Okay, that's the Stop School Violence Act, setting aside $75 million to train teachers for situations that could be violent. But I notice this has nothing to do with gun control. Are there still talks going on about that?
Well, you know, as a member of the Problem Solvers Group, we have a meeting tomorrow. But the main discussion is going to be on infrastructure. We're actually doing a poll right now, or a survey, of all of the members within the Problem Solvers to see what individual pieces of legislation they can support. So we'll know what those results are by the end of the week. And then we'll make some determination as to whether 75% of us can support a number of these different individual bills, which we'll then ask the leadership to try and schedule through the committee and get to the House floor for a vote.
With all this talk about gun control, it seems as though this is taking quite a while to go anywhere.
Well, we polled about 25 different bills for people to weigh in on. So people are reading the bills. They're trying to figure out whether they can support them or not. The deadline is Thursday, close of business. So we'll see where the problem solvers stand on a number of these different bills.
With all the kids protesting this week, do you think that lights a fire under anybody in Congress?
Well, you know what? I got to say that I think it is constructive. As I have sat down with a number of students in a number of counties that I represent, I know that they're very concerned about what happened down in Florida. They had some good ideas on a variety of different topics, whether it be the age for someone to purchase a gun, whether they had some very strong feelings on arming teachers. So we had a good number of different discussions. I know that I'm going to be meeting with students again over the next couple of weeks as well, just to get their input. And for many of them, this is their first chance to actually watch legislation begin in the works on something that they care about. So I think that it's a good thing that they've begun to really focus on some of the national issues maybe a little bit earlier than they might otherwise have, but it's a good, very good lesson in civics.
We're talking to Congressman Fred Upton. So, Fred, earlier this week, word went out you and a few other members of Congress signed a letter regarding mental health funding. You're calling for some more. Can you tell us more about that?
Well, you know, when we passed 21st Century Cures in the last Congress, signed by President Obama, we included $1 billion for more mental health assistance for the states. We need to do that again. And in the omnibus appropriation bill that could be up on the House floor this next week, we're hoping that there is more mental health money. You know, I've always believed in treatment, not incarceration. This will help us on that pathway. And again, it's been bipartisan and something that I think that we might be able to accomplish.
So where does this money go and how is it spent?
Michigan, we got $16 million earlier this last year for opioid abuse. There was money for opioids as well as for mental health, but it's going to help our county mental health agencies, our state, as we deal with the very difficult time of what we do with folks that are in real medical need.
All right, Fred, we're just about out of time here, but one last thing. I know that this past week you went around Berrien County taking a look at some of the flood damage that we experienced recently, and you were in support of the governor's disaster declaration.
I was glad to see that Governor Snyder has approved a disaster declaration, particularly for small businesses that were impacted. I'm working with our congressional delegation who represents some of those counties that were declared a disaster to see if we can't get such a declaration made by the Small Business Administration now that the state has rendered their opinion, so that we can get some low-interest loans for small businesses that were indeed impacted by the terrible flooding that we saw over the last couple of weeks.
All right, that was Congressman Fred Upton and I talking this week. And what he mentioned there, that letter to the Small Business Administration, that ended up being sent this week, and it's received support. So some businesses affected by flooding around Berrien County could see some low-interest loans coming from the Small Business Administration. Fred and I also talked a little bit about school safety. The U.S. House this week passed the Stop Violence in Schools Act, which set aside money for training school personnel to spot trouble. And we also talked about those protests that happened Wednesday, kids walking out of their high schools across the country. Fred says, well, it's a good thing they're raising their voices. As far as some of these students' calls for gun control, well, nothing's really happening on that front. So we'll wait and see there. News Talk 94.9, WSJM, this is Our Take. And speaking of high schools, I got to do something fun last night. I got to attend the championship for the Academic Challenge for the year. Academic Challenge is the competition between different high schools around Southwest Michigan. It's Quiz Bowl. The kids get together and take part in the trivia competitions. Anyway, last night they wrapped up Academic Challenge for another year and crowned the big winner for this year was St. Joseph. The St. Joseph High School Academic Challenge team coming out on top, beating their closest rival, Coloma, last night. I caught up with the coach of St. Joe's Academic Challenge team, Greg Etter, and I asked him if he'd like to tell us something about his team.
These kids are naturally pretty bright, and kudos to them and their teachers. They've had a good education, and they've taken advantage of that opportunity.
So that's St. Joseph High School's Greg Etter there, telling us he's proud of the kids of the St. Joe Academic Challenge team, who are the big winners. They get to keep a trophy for another year. They won it. They've been holding it since last year, and they get it until next year. Coming in second was Coloma last night. Also last night, there was a surprise at the Academic Challenge competition over at Signature Automotive. A Cassopolis High School student was awarded a surprise $1,000 scholarship, courtesy of Jonah McDonough State Farm. This was Cassopolis Ross Beatty senior Amelia Ayers. She was called up to the front there, and it was a big surprise to her. Her coach brought her to the Academic Challenge competition last night without telling her she was going to receive a scholarship. It's $1,000 from Jonah McDonough State Farm. She was surprised, and I caught up with Amelia after the competition and asked what she plans to do next year when she goes off to college.
I plan to go to maybe a college in Maryland called St. Mary's to pursue a STEM-related field, maybe environmental engineering.
All right, so that's the Academic Challenge last night held at Signature Automotive, wrapping up for another year. Amelia there from Cassopolis getting a $1,000 surprise scholarship from Jonah McDonough State Farm, and also St. Joseph coming out on top for another year. News Talk 94.9 WSJM, this is Our Take, and right now it's time for a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk with the Berrien County Sheriff's Department about St. Patrick's Day. News Talk 94.9 WSJM, stick around, we'll be right back. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. This is Our Take. Thanks for tuning in to this Friday edition of the show. We're almost ready to get out of here for a wonderful St. Patrick's Day weekend, which raises a safety concern. Tomorrow is St. Patrick's Day, and so the Berrien County Sheriff's Department and really police agencies all over these fair United States want people to make sure they behave themselves. And whatever you do, don't get behind the wheel of an automobile if you've been consuming alcohol. And here in Berrien County, the Sheriff's Department is teaming up with a few other law enforcement agencies to make sure that everyone minds their P's and Q's. I caught up with Berrien County Sheriff's Department to Chief Deputy Robert Boyce to find out about their Drive Sober or Get Pulled Over campaign for this weekend. Let's hear what he had to tell me. All right, Chief Deputy, so what's going on this weekend? What should people know ahead of St. Patrick's Day?
The Berrien County Sheriff's Office, in partnership with the St. Joseph City Department of Public Safety, the Benton Harbor Department of Public Safety, and the Bridgman City Police Department, will be increasing patrols on Saturday, March 17th, for the St. Patrick's Day celebrations. We want to try and prevent any injuries and fatalities sustained due to traffic collisions caused by impaired drivers.
Is this something that's going on statewide, or is this a strictly local initiative?
No, it's going on around the state. Various agencies will be participating in the Drive Sober or Get Pulled Over campaign, sponsored by the Office of Highway Safety Planning.
So is St. Patrick's Day typically a big day for drunk driving arrests?
It is, and with it being a Saturday, Saturday is statistically the day with the highest number of had-been-drinking fatal crashes in the country.
I know the Berrien County Sheriff's Department sent out some statistics for everyone to think about regarding drunk driving crashes. What are some of the numbers there?
Well, every 51 minutes in the United States, a person is killed by a drunk driving crash. So, and this year, with St. Patrick's Day being Saturday and also March Madness for the NCAA basketball tournament, we and the other agencies felt it was a good time to publicize our efforts in an attempt to keep anyone that is considering driving while impaired off the roads.
So what's your advice for somebody if they're planning to, you know, go out and celebrate this weekend? They should probably make preparations in advance, right?
That's right. Designated drivers, taxis, Uber, Lyft, any service where you have a sober individual transporting you.
And the legal limit is 0.08. That's pretty low. You can reach that quickly.
You can, and you can even be arrested with a blood alcohol content less than 0.08 if there's indications you are impaired.
Okay, that was Berrien County Sheriff's Department, Robert Boyce. Quick conversation with him there about their Drive Sober or Get Pulled Over campaign. Berrien County Sheriff's Department teaming up with Bridgman Police, St. Joe, and Benton Harbor Police or Public Safety to try to catch drunk drivers this weekend. And they want people to know in advance they're doing this, that they're having extra patrols so that people will just not get behind the wheel of an automobile should they be drinking this weekend. And Chief Deputy Boyce there mentioning something I forgot about, which is March Madness is going on as well. So indeed, that's a 1-2-3 punch. St. Patrick's Day, Saturday, and March Madness happening this weekend. Be sure to make arrangements in advance before you go out partying tomorrow. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. You're listening to Our Take, and right now I thought we would bring in our next guest. It is Michigan Department of Treasury spokesperson Ron Likes. Recently, the Treasury Department put out some information for everyone to know. This is tax filing season. I've been putting off doing mine. Uh-oh. I got about a month. You've got about a month still, but you will have to file your taxes sometime soon. Michigan Department of Treasury putting out information for people to know in regards to tax-related identity theft. Specifically, the Treasury Department is doing things a little bit differently this year when it comes to processing some state tax returns, and it is to prevent instances of identity theft. I chatted with Treasury Department spokesperson Ron Likes to find out what's going on here. Let's hear what he had to tell me. All right, Ron, it's almost tax time. Are Michiganders filing en masse already?
Well, yeah, the filing season opened on January 29th. So it goes all the way until April 17th. And typically we see the highest number of returns around President's Day. President's Day weekend is the big weekend where everybody files their federal and state. And if you have a local return, they do that too. So that's where we're at right now. I don't have a snapshot about where we're at in refunds. Hopefully, as we get about a month out from the deadline, I'll have more of that. But yeah, we're in full tax season right now.
Right. It is tax filing time. I've been putting off mine, but I've got to do it soon. And so Treasury, this year, you're doing things a little bit differently when it comes to processing some income tax returns in order to avoid identity theft, because the tactics these scammers use get more and more sophisticated.
Hey, keep your eyes peeled, because if you get a letter from Treasury follow the instructions closely on that letter, because we're conducting security measures to ensure that you get your refund, not a cyber criminal who's next in the next town away, the next block away, or halfway across the world. And it comes down to, you know, these cyber criminals are consistently using new tactics, new tricks to obtain personal information so they can fraudulently file state tax returns and claim refunds on behalf of unsuspecting taxpayers. It's an ongoing problem that affects our state's residents and businesses. And in most cases, an individual is already a victim of identity theft when a cyber criminal attempts to claim their state tax refund because their personal information is on the dark web and available for purchase. You hear about these breaches, and that information's out there. And these cyber criminals try to use this information to file either federal, state, or other returns to take advantage of the situation. So that's why it's important. We want taxpayers to be aware of and prepare for possible scams when conducting your business online, checking email, and engaging within social media platforms. So when we proactively look for scams, we're less likely to be a victim of identity theft. So back to the core pieces, to protect taxpayers, the State Treasury Department has implemented extra security measures. So for the last few years, some taxpayers have been asked to take an online quiz to verify their identity in order to receive their state tax refund. And this is requested when some abnormality is detected when filing a state income tax return. Something just doesn't seem right, so it sets off a flag within our system. And we kick out a letter to that taxpayer so they can go online, complete a quiz, and verify that, hey, this is me filing this tax refund, a return. And like last year, we're continuing the efforts for the 2018 filing season, which began on January 29th and goes all the way until this year on the 17th. So if you receive that letter in the mail from the Michigan Department of Treasury that requests that you take the online quiz, please follow the letter's instructions closely. And we also have a phone number available on that letter for those who aren't computer savvy or they'd rather, you know, talk to a person and actually do it one-on-one instead of, going online. So, and through these efforts, like last year, our increased security measures protected about 4,000 taxpayers who confirmed their identity was stolen and used to request State of Michigan refunds, and then preventing $16 million from being distributed to scammers. You know, that's $16 million that could have gone to a cyber criminal, you know, halfway across the world, or who knows, maybe within country or all over. So there's no boundaries, political boundaries, for a cyber criminal.
All right, so if Treasury wants you to take one of these quizzes, you will get a physical letter in the mail.
That's right. We don't call. Okay. We typically don't call. So about this time, too, you start hearing about cases where robocalls or people call and saying, hey, you owe money, or we need you to do this, in a threatening manner, or we're going to take this and that away from you. That's not us. We're not a threatening organization. We're not going to call and threaten you or ask to pay for your taxes on an iTunes gift card. We don't do that either. You'll get a letter in the mail, and it'll be from the Michigan Department of Treasury, and follow those instructions closely. For the vast majority of taxpayers, they will not receive this letter. This is only for a small amount of taxpayers who file a refund, and it triggered something within our system to suspect that this may not be the person who's filing, or the right person's filing this income tax return. So we're just asking that you verify your identity, and this is just an additional layer of protection so we can ensure the right refund goes to the right person, not a cyber criminal, whether it be the next block, next state, or halfway across the world.
All right, Ron, any other advice for Michiganders as they prepare to file their taxes with the state?
That's, get your taxes filed by April 17th, and, the quicker you file your income tax returns, the quicker you file your income tax return, the better you're prepared to fight a cyber criminal. Those early filers, if you already claim your refund, you're already claiming it before a cyber criminal can claim it for you.
If you are a victim, do you just lose out on your refund?
If a cyber criminal does take your refund, you're still entitled to receive your refund. So that doesn't mean you're not going to get a refund if a cyber criminal steals it, but it's less hassle if you're proactive and you're vigilant and with these security precautions in place. So, yeah, just want to put that out there that if you find that you are a victim of identity theft and a cyber criminal has claimed your state income tax refund, you're still entitled to that refund, and we'll still make sure you receive it.
All right, that was the Michigan Department of Treasury spokesperson Ron Likes talking with us about tax-related identity theft. If Treasury, for whatever reason, suspects that there could be some funny business going on with your state tax return, they will send you a physical letter asking you to take a quiz to verify you are who you say you are. So be ready for that. The earlier you file, the more time you allow for that process to work itself out. With identity theft, such a common thing nowadays, they don't want anyone to get ripped off. Now, even if you do get your identity stolen and some criminal makes off with your refund, you're still entitled to it, as Ron notes there. But you don't want to deal with any of that hassle, so just to keep your eyes peeled for that letter from the Michigan Treasury Department. They will not call you, and they will not send a guy out to your house to threaten you. They will just send you a letter. News Talk 94.9 WSJM, this is Our Take, and right now we will take a break. When we come back, our man in the dark, Jacob Holmes, will come in here. He and I will talk about new movies coming out this weekend at the box office. You've got a few different options at your local cinema. If you'd like to weigh in on something we have discussed, send us an email. The address is ourtake@wsjm.com. That's O-U-R-T-A-K-E at wsjm.com. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. This is Our Take. Stick around. We'll be right back. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. You're listening to Our Take. Thanks for tuning in to this Friday edition of the show. This is, of course, the show where we have longer conversations about things you've heard about recently on WSJM News. We chat with folks who are in the know or making things happen here in Michigan's great Southwest. So far on today's program, we talked with Congressman Fred Upton. We also chatted with the Berrien County Sheriff's Department, who had a reminder to everyone to be safe this weekend for St. Patrick's Day. And we caught up with the Michigan Department of Treasury to find out what they're doing to prevent identity theft for this year's tax filing season. Right now, because it's Friday, I thought I would welcome Jacob Holmes in here so we could talk about new films coming out at the box office this weekend. Jacob, thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
All right, so we've got Celebration Cinema in Benton Harbor here. When we look at our local theater, so what new offerings are we getting this weekend?
Well, this weekend we've got the a video game movie reboot of Tomb Raider.
Oh, yes. Okay.
So for those who may remember Tomb Raider, they've done movies of this video game series before in 2001 and 2003 with Angelina Jolie.
Right. I saw the first one in the theater.
Well, I didn't see the first one. I saw the first one years and years later.
Okay.
And Angelina Jolie is perfect for the role of that character, Lara Croft.
Hmm.
The movie, the first one anyway, was wildly forgettable.
Right. It's well, you know, the video game. I played the original video game on the old PlayStation. It was Tomb Raider. You're playing as Lara Croft. She's an explorer. She
raids tombs.
She raids tombs and finds artifacts and stuff. And that, I guess, that's what happened.
It's basically a flashy Indiana Jones sort of thing.
Yes, and so they've rebooted it now, though.
Right. So yeah, the games were at least the original games were kind of revolutionary for their time.
Mm-hmm.
And then a few years ago they rebooted the video game series.
Okay.
And this movie is an adaptation of that reboot.
Right. Now I've never played the rebooted video game series.
I have played the rebooted video game series, and they are very good. It's very different. It's not your Tomb Raider, that's for sure. It's more akin to the Uncharted series.
Okay. I've never the rebooted video game series. Based off the artwork, it looks like it's really gritty and sort of grimy.
Yes, it is. It is very gritty. Those games, and this movie, really play on the their origin. It's an origin. It's like this is how she became, you know, what she was. But it focuses more on the survival aspect.
All right, so.
So, yeah, you get Lara Croft gets really messed up in these games.
Right, well, every image I've seen from this movie, you know, she's all covered with dirt and all sweaty.
Right, and it's worth noting that Lara Croft in this version is played by Alicia Vikander, an Oscar winner, and I'm going to have some bitterness towards this movie that I may carry to my grave, because when I played the games, and when I heard that they were making a movie out of it, I immediately thought to myself, Daisy Ridley from Star Wars, because that was when I started playing these games, was around the time Force Awakens came out.
Right. You know, now that you mention it, Daisy Ridley would be good for Lara Croft.
I mean, yeah, if you look at, I don't know, I saw it in my head and it just looked perfect, but whatever. Alicia Vikander won an Oscar. Fine.
What did she win an Oscar for anyway?
It was that movie with Eddie Redmayne. I forget what the title of it was, but it was
The Danish Girl?
Yes, The Danish Girl. Thank you. Yeah, she won Best Supporting Actress, I think, for that movie.
All right. Well, the movie I know her best from is Ex Machina.
Right. She was the main android in Ex Machina.
She was fantastic there. So I'll give her a shot as Lara Croft.
Yeah, she's this isn't a knock against Alicia Vikander. She's a great actress, and I'm sure she does fine. And honestly, the reviews from what I've seen all agree that she's easily the best part of this movie.
Oh yeah.
Much like Angelina Jolie was the best part of those movies.
Well, you know, I may very well see this new Tomb Raider.
I'm going to see it too, because I like the game series. It's a video game movie, so obviously critics are not going to like it. Mm-hmm. But it seems pretty split down the middle. It's hovering around that 50% on Rotten Tomatoes. So I want to give this a shot. It looks decent. It looks like a passable popcorn flick, and honestly, that's all I'm looking for. I'm not looking for anything game-changing or mind-blowing.
Sure, it's 158 minutes of action directed by Roar.
Oh, it can't be that long.
That's what it says.
Are you serious?
The IMDb says 1 hour is 58 minutes, which actually is...
Oh, that's better. If it's under 2 hours...
Yeah, yeah. What'd you think I said?
You said 158 minutes.
Oh, sorry. I meant... Oh, no, that would be a bit long.
Yeah, like, oh, no, I don't think I can do that.
No, it's 1 hour and 58
minutes. Avengers Infinity War, which they came out with that runtime, which that actually makes sense for all the stuff that's in that movie.
All right, well, so we got Tomb Raider this weekend. That's our action-packed explorer movie. What else we got?
Oh, well, if that's not your thing, there's Love, Simon, I guess you could call it a young adult, but it's a teen coming of age story.
Okay.
It's based on a young adult novel, Simon versus the Homo Sapiens Agenda. So they changed the title to Love, Simon.
I like the original title a little better.
Yeah. Well, what this movie's about is about a high school teenager named Simon, who he's gay,
right?
And he's struggling with coming out.
Okay. And so, yeah, this is kind of a comedy. I've gotten the trailer for this a couple of times.
Yeah, I have too. And they've actually, this movie's been, they've been doing a lot of preview screenings for this through like various theater chains.
Right.
They haven't come here, obviously. But the buzz on this one is pretty darn good. It's got a 90% on Rotten Tomatoes last I checked.
Hmm.
So this definitely seems like a good teen coming of age stories. They're a dime a dozen,
right?
But this seems like one of the stronger ones, and definitely very unique in that we haven't really had one like this that deals with, you know, what if it's about, you know,
the main character is gay,
yeah,
as
exactly.
opposed to it being a supporting character, which is what it usually is in these movies.
Right. Yeah. And it's that hasn't really been the focus. At least I haven't seen a mainstream one like that.
All right. Well, we got Jennifer Garner in this one.
Yeah. Jennifer Garner and Josh
Duhamel
play Simon's parents. And going through the cast list, a lot of the supporting characters in this movie are actually played by actors who are also on the Netflix series 13 Reasons Why.
Interesting. Is there a reason for that?
No, I think that's just a coincidence. But that's a really good show. All the kids act really well in that series. So, yeah, a lot of power behind this movie.
All right, great. So that's Love, Simon, coming of age story, kind of a comedy that should be a good one. And what's the other new movie we have?
The other new movie coming here is the latest faith-based movie, which, you know, we're coming up on Easter, so get ready for a lot of those.
Ah, yes.
I Can Only Imagine.
Okay.
It's the story of the hit Christian song, of the same name, I can only imagine.
I've never heard of it. Have you?
The movie?
No, the song.
Oh, the song's like the most it's the most popular Christian song of all time.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's been around. It came out in 2001, and it was so popular that I've heard it on mainstream radio stations, not just the Christian radio stations. I grew up in the church, so I have definitely heard of this song.
All right, well, I've never heard this song before.
It was by the band Mercy Me, and basically what it's about the main singer imagining what it's like to be in heaven in the presence of God. And based on so this movie is about that, the main singer of Mercy Me finding the inspiration for it.
Oh, okay.
And it's very much about the relationship between him and his father, who died of cancer, I believe.
Okay, the guy's name is Bart Miller.
Yes, that's the main singer.
Okay, so this film is the Celebration Cinema's website says this true story follows the life of Bart Millard, lead singer of the Christian band Mercy Me, who loses his father to cancer and inspires him to write the mega hit song I Can Only Imagine.
Right, and doing my research for this movie, I think his father died in like the early 90s.
Okay.
And again, the song came out in 2001. So,
and it stars Dennis Quaid.
Yes, Dennis Quaid as the father.
Cloris Leachman is in this?
Yeah, okay, yeah, Cloris Leachman is in this movie. This is what's weird. Cloris Leachman is an atheist.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really curious why she chose to be in this movie.
Maybe as a, I don't know, actually. She's 91 years old. Maybe.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I love Cloris Leachman, though, but it's just like, this just doesn't seem like the kind of movie she would do. And right. Country singer Trace Adkins is in the movie as well.
All right. Great. So that's I Can Only Imagine. Is this a Pure Flix movie?
No, this is, I think this is an independent film, but Lionsgate picked up the distribution rights to it.
Okay. Well, I wonder who plays the lead singer there, that band?
His name's J. Michael Finley, and he's a Broadway actor. This is his first movie.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, it could be a good film, could be an interesting one.
Yeah, a good, if you've got, I already know of several churches in the area that are like gathering groups to go see it, and that's probably going to be the case, because there's two, leading up to Easter, there's at least two other faith-based movies that I know of that are coming out. There's a movie based on the Apostle Paul next week, and then God's Not Dead 3, Easter weekend.
Oh, what could be more loving than another God's Not Dead movie for Easter?
Sadly, this is not the entry where they take the franchise into space.
Okay. Well, those are our three new movies this weekend.
Honestly, it's a real I think Black Panther very well win the weekend. I think it's going to be a three-way battle between Black Panther for a fifth time, mm-hmm. Tomb Raider, and I Love Simon's probably going to draw big numbers.
Really?
I think so.
It's got a good buzz?
Yeah, it's got a good buzz. I think at the very least it'll be a big box office success. It could not have cost very much to make that movie.
Okay, so we've got those three new options. I guess if you're looking for action, you'd go with Tomb Raider.
If you're burnt out on Black Panther, you could do Tomb Raider, although honestly, even though I'm going to see Tomb Raider, Black Panther is the better movie. But yeah, I'm going to check out Tomb Raider. If you're a fan of that video game franchise, or if you just need a break from Black Panther, but you still need that action fix, I'm going to go see Tomb Raider.
I'll be at Tomb Raider, and I think I'm going to see Red Sparrow for a second time.
Oh, all right.
And I also saw the Strangers 2, Prey at Night last weekend. And it's a run-of-the-mill slasher film. That one. My recommendation this weekend?
Tomb Raider.
Sure, Tomb Raider.
Tomb Raider or Black Panther for me.
Tomb Raider it is. Jacob, thanks for coming in here.
Thank you for having me.
News Talk 94.9 WSJM. That does it for another edition of The Hour Take. I've been your host today. My name is Andrew Green. Thanks for tuning in. You have a fantastic St. Patrick's Day weekend.